Well, welcome, Grace Point Church. In a moment, our worship team will be inviting us to worship with them as we raise our voices together to worship the living God. This week, we're adding the words underneath the screen, so you'll be able to not just listen to worship, you'll be able to participate in worship, and I would encourage you to do so. After some time in worship, I've asked John Tabler to share a message with us in line with our Hebrews series. We're going to be walking through the life of Abraham in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. So as I shared last week, Hebrews chapter 11 is God's hall of faith. And this Sunday, we're going to be taking down another jersey from God's rafter, from God's legendary locker room. We're going to be dusting off Abraham's story. And may God use his story in Hebrews chapter 11 to bring encouragement to all of us, but also stretch us in our faith, stretch us in our walk with God. But before we go in, before we worship and study God's word together, in the context of this empty courtyard, I'd like to go ahead and share with you some truths that I hope and pray will encourage you. It seems like I am all alone in this empty courtyard, and it is quite strange. It is not, again, what we are used to. And in light of this empty courtyard, I am tempted to equate reality to only what we see. I and we need to be reminded that reality is far more than what we see. You see, it seems, it feels like I'm all alone, but I know I am not. God is with me. I have God as my ever-present Lord in my life. I also know that I am still part, even though I don't see you, I'm still part of a strong church family at Grace Point Church. It has been a delight for me to continue to pastor and lead you through this season, but also how many of you are sharing stories about how you are loving and leading and investing in so many others. I am proud of you, Grace Point Church. I'm also not alone in the fact that I know I have family and friends who love me and still want to walk through life with me. So just as my reality is more than what I can see, your reality is more than what you are feeling and what you are seeing this morning. God loves you, and there are some things we have in common. You are not alone. One way that you are not alone is how you are feeling. In this season of change and surprise, of which we do not know how long this will last, you have been experiencing some mixed emotions. And I want you to know that you are not alone. Even during this time, you have been experiencing moments where you've had the energy, you've had the desire to do what you know you ought to do. You have had some lighter moments in the last few weeks. I've had some lighter moments watching some movies with my family, talking with some of you, FaceTiming with some of you. You've had some lighter moments with, again, your family, your friends. Someone sent to me yesterday a little video of a remake of one of the Beatles' best songs, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Obviously, they changed some of the lyrics, and when I was watching this creativity, there was a moment of lightness. So in this season of craziness, there have been some moments of lightness. But then there have been some other moments that have prompted other feelings. Grace Point Church and all of you who are watching with us this morning, you are not alone in your feeling of sadness and anxiety that has come upon you when life is now new and not as it once was. One of the challenges is that we do not know how long this season will be. There is a level of uncertainty related to, again, the stretching of this season, and it seems to be stretching longer and longer and longer. You are not alone in this feeling of, yes, sadness and anxiety, because of the uncertainty of these times. You are also not alone in the loss that you have been experiencing. A lot of the feelings of heaviness and even worry and anxiety, sadness, is because of some of the losses we have experienced. Some of you, you've lost your jobs. I've talked with several of you even the last few days. Many of you, you are concerned over the future of your jobs and careers and the jobs and careers of those you love. All of us have lost our normal routine. All of us have lost this opportunity where we can just gather whenever and wherever and with whoever we want to. Now we are practicing social distancing, and it's hard. There is a loss. Many of you have experienced the loss of looking forward to some special events, some gatherings. I've heard of some weddings that have been postponed, some trips that have been canceled. There are some special events, you students, related to all kinds of special school opportunities. They have been postponed, or yes, they have been canceled altogether. So in this morning, where we are gathering together as a church family, I want you to know that the mixed emotions that you are experiencing, yes, some levity, some lightness every now and then, but also you are not alone in the sadness and in some of the heaviness that you are carrying. And I don't want you to take it out on yourself too hard. Some of you, you are feeling you should be stronger, better, and have more energy than you do. You are not alone in being reminded, it seems like every moment of our lives, of how needy we are for God's love, God's care, God's energy to fill us and fuel our lives. So in this empty courtyard, where it seems I'm not alone, but I am still very much in community with you, with our Lord, and with my family, let me share with you a few things from God's Word that can you and I can recognize and remember when we're challenged to, again, only equate what we feel and see with the reality of our lives. One thing that you can embrace and be reminded of is that God is still with you. Psalms 46, verse 1, it says that God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in our time of need. This is a time of need. So God is with you, and you have an opportunity in these trying times to draw near to God. He's waiting for you to cry out to Him. He's waiting for you to draw near to Him. The Bible says over in the book of James, draw near to me, God says, and I will draw near to you. And here's some encouragement. When God draws near to us, He brings the power of His character. Where do you need God's character to take over in your life? One of my favorite passages that I reflect on and that I often share with others to give us hope when we feel drained is Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Here's a question for you. Where do you need God's character to take over? With who do you need God's character to take over as you are spending time with them, as you are trying to love them and be sensitive to them and to be patient with them? You are not alone. God invites you to draw near to Him to experience His presence and His character. You are also not alone, even when it feels you are alone, in terms of our community at Grace Point Church. Yes, we have changed our methods, but there are opportunities for you to engage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Grace Point Church, we need this. We are better together. It is not good for us to be alone. one of the routines that I have been missing in my life these past few weeks, and who knows how long it will continue, is going to the gym. And I've missed bringing my gym bag to a gym and sweating and running and lifting and then basically just kind of releasing some of the tension in my life that I love to go ahead and just release when I'm at the gym. And I was thinking about that. I even brought my gym bag here this morning. Even though I can't use it down the street, I can still use it in our church courtyard. So in my gym bag, I have two pairs of shoes. And I remember a while back, as I packed my shoe, I noticed that I left out my support that the shoe was made to have inside so I can go ahead and stand and run the way I wanted to. So as I went to the gym and I unpacked my shoe, I realized that I did not have the support. And so I did not want to, in a sense, run without the support because I would hurt myself. As I thought about that, I remember God has placed a support system inside my life so I can go ahead and put inside my routine the support of you, the support of walking with Jesus Christ on a moment-by-moment basis so I can have the support I need when I'm running on the pavement, when I'm experiencing the challenges in my daily life. Grace Point Church, this is what we are for each other. May we continue to be our support system to go ahead and put inside our lives and schedules so we can stand on with each other and support each other for such a time as this. Another example that I was reflecting on, also in my gym bag, is my bike shoe. And there was one time that I'm putting on my bike shoe with a special little metal device on the bottom so I can go ahead and click into the pedals and I can go ahead and do the spinning. I can do the cycling that I enjoy doing at the gym. But one time I was trying to click in, but the pedal was broken and I was unable to click in. The shoe was not clicking the way it was meant to. And it was one of the longer, most frustrating times trying to do the exercising that I've wanted to do. Grace Point Church, we were made with a clip that we are called to click in to community. And I'd encourage you, yes, we're trying to be creative. All of our groups are online. There are many people that are reaching out. We have an active prayer ministry. So if you feel you are alone, if you are experiencing the sadness, the anxiety, the uncertainty, the losses that are coming on all of us during a time like this, we were not made to go through seasons like this, and they come and they go alone. May you allow our church to come alongside you in creative ways. Find a small group. Find a discussion group. Let us know how we can pray for you, and we are better together. And God will bring us through this season of loss and uncertainty together. One last verse I want to share with you, and then we're going to go ahead and walk inside and experiencing the worship and the teaching that God has prepared for us. I have been often reflecting back on the prophet Isaiah, who had his ministry 700 years before Jesus was born. And in Isaiah chapter 33, he describes an unnamed discourager. And the people of God were being discouraged. And part of their discouragement is they don't know how long this season of dryness, this season of change, this season of challenge in our life will continue. Isaiah 33 verse 1 says, "You discourager or destroyer, you who want to discourage me, even destroy me, you yourself have not yet been destroyed." And there is this ongoing onslaught of attacking and challenging in their lives. But rather than focusing on the unnamed discourager and how things have changed and we are living in dry times, the prophet Isaiah encourages the people of God to not just look around, definitely not just look within, but look up. And he leads the people of God to look up as God is wanting to draw near to them, even in such of the challenging times that they're experiencing. Just two verses I want to end with. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 2. After this unnamed discourager is the focus of the people, the prophet Isaiah says, "Oh Lord, be gracious to us. We wait for you. Oh Lord, be our arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble." And then down in verse 6 and verse 5, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high." And may we worship in just a few moments the exalted Lord who dwells on high. And he, verse 6, will be the stability of our times. May God not just get us through this season. May God grow us through this season. And may he, as we draw near to him, be the stability of our times. May the Lord bless you as we gather together to worship and study his word.
Good morning, Grace Point Church and any newcomers. I'm Bob Campbell. And on behalf of the Greeters Ministry, I'd like to welcome you to our online service. Why don't you come on in? We're starting worship right now.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours and you are. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never keep my eyes above. presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence.
Still more awesome than I know. all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. All I have in you is more than enough, more than all I want, more than more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, Jesus, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. And all I have in you is more than enough. And all I have in you is more than enough. My foes are many. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war. I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always, and I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. Trouble surrounding, chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, oh, my help is on the way. My refuge and strength always, and I will not fear. His promise is true. My God will come through always. I lift my eyes. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. I lift my eyes up. My help comes from the Lord. From the Lord. Oh, my God, He will not delay. my refuge and strength always. And I will not fear, His promise is true. My God will come through always. Oh, my God, He will not delay. My refuge and strength always. God, we know that in every situation, even the one we face now, God, the thing that seems so strange to all of us, this time of our lives, we could have never expected this even months ago, God. But we know that You have us. We know that You love us. Always.
Morning, Grace Point Church. Thanks so much for joining us again for another Sunday online service. I know it's weird out there. I know things are getting kind of crazy. What a wild time this is, huh? I was just sitting at home like you do now, thinking through even just coming here, even kind of from a behind the scenes process. It's weird preaching to a camera. It's weird just speaking to a box. Knowing that you guys are at home, knowing that you guys are together, to enjoy this and hopefully get some fruit out of this word. But we just wanted to lift up a thank you, especially to the medical workers in our church who are working day in and day out to try to combat what's going on, to keep us safe, to keep us healthy. Also wanted to throw out a shout out to parents who are now just figuring out how to do all this with their entire world turned upside down. Your kids are home now, and maybe you're working from home now, and it's this weird insanity of having to homeschool and also manage everything else. Also, big shout out to those of you who now know what your spouse's work voice sounds like, the meeting voice, if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you know now that they say things like, let's put a pin in that, which is wild. You never knew that. So we just want to lift you guys up. We want to reach out to you. Know that we are here for you at Grace Point Church. We've still got some small groups going on through Zoom, which we'll have more information about. But until we get to that, just wanted to open up back into the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. We're doing kind of the mid half of chapter 11 this morning. And we're digging primarily through Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. And we get to really focus in on Abraham's faith. Which to me is a really interesting passage, a really interesting space of scripture in Genesis and also in how it's described in Hebrews. Faith, I think, is a really pivotal part and attribute to what's going on right now. We are stuck in this kind of space of unknown. In my head, I titled this sermon, Faith into the Unknown. I didn't want to trigger a lot of parents who maybe Frozen 2 has come out and you haven't stopped watching it yet. But for some reason, that's just what came into mind. Last week, Bob really explored what faith looks like and what it takes. Today, we're going to be getting into what faith can produce. And we see that a lot in Abraham's story. So let's get into it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says this. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now it's highlighted in that passage that Abraham did not know where he was going. This is a space I think that we can relate to in a lot of ways right now, where we have some semblance of what we're supposed to be doing, and there's so much of life to figure out right now, but we don't know where we're going.
And that's really, that can be really scary. It can be really exciting. I know I've felt both experiences through this past 2 weeks or so of going like, yes, heck yeah, let's figure out what we're doing, how we're going to do this, especially here at the church. How are we going to run an entire church online without being able to actually see people in real life? But then there are other times when it's been scary. There's been times when I'm worried about my parents and I'm worried about others that I know. I'm worried about people here at the church who I know are kind of at risk and have some of those underlying conditions that they talk about. But God in Abraham's life says, I need you to go. I have a new place planned for you. I have a new place that I have built for you. And he goes. And that's important. Then not knowing where he was going, and yet he still steps out and says, okay, God, I'll be there. Let's go. And God says in Genesis 12, he says, go from your country to the land that I will show you. That's the information that he gives Abraham. That's the lead that he gives him. He says, go from your country to the land that I will show you. He doesn't say you're going to go 200 miles east and then, or west, I guess, and then I'll show you kind of where to build your tent. No, he says, go, and I'm going to show you as you're going where you're going. I think for us, this can be a really, really trying time. And like I said, we don't know where we're going. But by faith, Abraham steps out and goes. And he follows God and he waits on God and he lives with God. He focuses on God. And I think that's so important. Abraham gets called out into that place. And when he's called out into that place, kind of our first note for this morning is he's able to find obedience by faith. Now, by faith is going to be highlighted a lot because as you've been going through Hebrews with us, by faith is a really critical highlight that we are being given. So Abraham is given obedience by faith because without faith, this type of obedience is kind of crazy. It's insane because without an understanding of the lordship and nature of God, blind obedience is what it would seem to be. That this voice came down and said, hey, take your family and leave everything you've known because I have cooler stuff going on. And if you didn't know who God was or his authority or his power, this would be a wild thing to step into. It would be illogical. It would be dangerous. It would be unwise. And without faith also, none of this is possible because following something like this without having faith in who God is impossible. It would be so difficult to step out into a place like that without fully understanding God, without fully understanding the goodness that he has for you. And we see that even more with the example of Sarah that Hebrews 11 gives us in the next passage. In verse 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. When we see that passage, when we see that highlighted, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received power. Not by wanting it badly enough, not by her own works, by faith, Sarah received power. See, the promises of God are given to us by faith. In every passage in Scripture, when we are given specific promises from God, it comes by faith. The fruits of the Spirit, when they're outlined, are given to us by faith in the Holy Spirit. Those promises are not things that we can achieve on our own. Really think and buckle down on what the fruits of the Spirit are and see if you can just achieve them through thought. We've got love. Okay. We've got joy. Yeah, peace. You ever tried to find peace without just running away into the woods? It's not something, at least for me, that has ever come by my own choice, by my own pursuit, without relying on God. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruits of the Spirit are given to us by faith. They are not of our own works. We are given power. With the fruits of the Spirit that are given to us through faith, Sarah is also given power by faith. And that's our next one, is power by faith. not just like, I don't know, not just abilities, not just strength and reassurance, but power by faith. See, Sarah should not have been able to bear children. And there are plenty of scientists who would say that's true. There's no way she should have been able to do that. But through faith, by faith, God gives her that power. Faith is also self-multiplying, because the reward of faith led to a greater faith. Imagine being Sarah. Imagine being Abraham in these moments. And you're going through the desert and God comes to you. You're 99 and 90. And he says, you're going to bear a son. You're going to bear the correct son, if you know the story. And I love in Genesis when it shows this illustration, it says, Sarah laughed when God told her. Imagine the God of the universe coming to you and saying, hey, you're 90 years old. I get that. But I'm bigger than that. You're going to have a son. And imagine not laughing at that idea. Maybe out of fear and reverence of God, of being like, okay, this seems like a big deal. I would laugh. Now, granted, it would be a lot bigger of a deal if he came to me and said, you're going to bear a son at 90 years old in that way. But like, Sarah laughs when God says this. And God almost seems to take that as an opportunity to show how big he is. Because the power that Sarah receives is not because she wanted a son badly enough. It's not because she was tired of not having a son. It was because God gave her that power. Similarly, in our own lives, when we look to that, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit a little bit. When we look to who God is and we look for his power, we look for it by faith. Faith is the catalyst for all of this. Faith is the catalyst for this entire Bible is faith. We see times in the Bible where people do not walk by faith and things don't go great. I don't know if you've read it, but it's pretty cool. When people step away from their faith, they miss it. We even see in Genesis when Abraham and Sarah step away from faith. In the midst of this obedience that we see, right? And Hebrews doesn't highlight it because Hebrews is trying to highlight the positives in this moment. But we see that Abraham and Sarah step out of faith in these moments and they bear a son that they name Ishmael. And God comes and says, that's not enough. And one of my favorite passages of scripture within Abraham's story is when Abraham looks to God and says, oh, that Israel, that Ishmael may stand before you. And God's answer to him is no. It's just a straight no. I've had so many times in my life when my faith has faltered and I come back to God and give him this thing that I created that's not good. And I sit with him and I say, oh, that this Ishmael in my own life would stand before you. And God says, no. He says, that's not mine. That's not for me. I have bigger things planned for you. And we're not going to get too deep into the Ishmael stuff because that's not actually kind of highlighted in Hebrews, maybe for another day. But God shows himself to Sarah through the birth of her son. And his fulfillment of the promise led to so much more love and belief and faith from Sarah. And I think that's important because Sarah and Abraham don't actually get to see the fullness of the promise of God that they're given. We see that in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And then the writer of Hebrews makes sure to note in verse 15, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I like that the writer of Hebrews points this out, because if Abraham and Sarah and the rest of his family had kept any focus on the land that they had come from, they may have returned. It says they would have had opportunity to return. They desire, but at the end of the day, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. And they get to see some of these promises by faith, but their priorities were correct. Because while they didn't get to see all of it, they still kept their focus on the land that was to come, not the land that God brought them out of. Now, for us, can we check in on that land that God brings us out of as a lesson to understand the goodness of God? Sure. But any other type of focus on the things God has pulled us out of, give us opportunity to return. We always hear those cheesy lines of like, stop living your life in the rear view, right? I don't know if that's from Fast and Furious or something else, but why am I quoting that in a sermon? But like, we see those things and it's important and it's biblical at the end of the day. That sure, you can check on things. You can check to see where you were, but only to magnify the goodness of where you're going when you're walking in faith with God. Only to see how good things can be and how selfish and your own the old things were. In Romans 6, when Paul gets into saying the old man is dead, we've been buried in the likeness of his death and raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Essentially what he's saying is like, get off the cross. We did that already. We need to be looking forward. We need to be living in Christ, not looking back at the land that we were in before so that we would have opportunity to return. And that's so important. And again, Sarah and Abraham get to see some of the promises by faith, but their priorities are correct because ultimately they find legacy by faith. Because the promises that God gave to them were so much bigger than them. And the provisions that he gave them were so much bigger than them. This son that that God gave them that would continue to lead into all the nations of Israel, that would become the 12 primary tribes of Israel, that all come from Abraham and Sarah's faith. There's no way they could have seen all of that. And no way they really could have understood what that meant. Because God told Abraham that I will give you offspring that outnumber the stars. But there's no way to really quantify that in your head, I don't think. You have to step forward in that faith, knowing that what you do will lead to more. That what you do by faith, God will multiply. Because again, while God's provision is there for you, it's also bigger than you. When I was 6, my great-grandma passed at the age of 101. She was gnarly. And I remember she broke her hip, I think, when she was like 92. And this is, my dad told me this. And she had a hip replacement surgery. And they couldn't afford like physical therapy for her. So my dad had her come to the karate studio that he helped out at and just walk kind of a lap around and then come into the middle and try to kick the punching bag. And he said within about a month, she was clear in the room and kicking the punching bag at like 93, 92 years old with a brand new hip. She was a warrior. She was gnarly. She lived through the Great Depression. She saw her son go off to war. She saw her husband. And like all these incredible things from this incredible woman. But after she passed, I got one of her Bibles. And I was just flipping through it to see. She had all sorts of stuff in there. Little sermon pamphlets and stuff like that. It was like her consistent Bible. And Hebrews 11 for her was like highlighted like crazy. It was notated. There were multiple like sticky notes in there and stuff that she had written. She was huge on this passage. And that's part of why I really wanted to speak on Hebrews 11 this year as we were getting into Hebrews. Because it's something that for me, since finding that at, I think I was like 8 or 9, this entire chapter has always been really important to my life in understanding that faith is enough and that I am not. But even her legacy to me is that. Now, there are a lot of cool stories about my great-grandma Ethel, but ultimately the thing that I remember the most about her was this aspect of faith that she seemed so passionate about. And I didn't get to talk to her about it, but I learned a lot from her Bible that she notated, that she wrote all up in, and that she really got into. And it shows me that even the concept of faith can be its own legacy. The concept of faith, living and walking by faith, is something that passes on to other people. It's weird using the word contagious right now, but faith can be really, really contagious when people see that strength that is given to us from God through faith. It's something they want. When they see the provisions that were given by God, it's something that they want. Legacy is always an interesting topic to me. But I think as a contrast to that, we see the faith in selfishness. And we're seeing that a lot right now. I'm reminded of the spring breakers that are primarily Gen Z, by the way, not millennials, so it's different. Who had so much faith in themselves and their own immune system, I guess, that they thought it was fine to just still go out and party and spring break, even in the midst of a government-recommended quarantine. And they go in, I saw this, there's this heat map video going on that I just saw this morning, actually, and it highlighted the phones. It was a heat map of phones at this one beach in Florida during that spring break time. And then they tracked the heat map of the phones as people went home. And it was like, if each of those people had picked up what's going on, the spread that caused is insane to me. And that's from a faith in yourself. That's from a faith in their own desires. Because a faith in ourselves spreads like wildfire. Because you have faith in yourself and there's that inherent selfishness in you, and other people are going to start looking out for themselves too, because you have you covered. The blessings that you're being given, if you think are all from you, you're missing it. Because faith spreads similarly to that cell phone heat map. Faith spreads similarly in that we take it out and we express it and we acknowledge it and we make it a part of our lives, and our lives start to look different. Abraham stepped out in faith from the land that he was in towards the land he was given. And at the time, it looks weird. At the time of him leaving, it doesn't make sense, because he wasn't exactly a poor guy in this land that he was in. And to leave all of that behind must have been pretty intense. But the faith that he had in God was so much more than the faith that he had in his own things, in his own abilities, that he stepped out into another desert and even ended up in Egypt at one point on his way, and continued on to the promised land. And his faith was contagious. It spread to his family. It spread to his kids. It spread to their kids, into what became the entire nation of Israel, to the whole Hebrew people. That faith was so important in leading to everything. I don't even have words for how important that was. It led to everything. And I'm just reminded that, like, we as Christians now, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this fear, in the midst of this just chaos, even as it starts to settle in a little bit and becomes more whatever normal is right now, it still feels chaotic. We are called to look forward, not to the land we've been in, but to look forward, because realistically, when we come out of this, things are going to look different. This is another big event, I think, that changes the way that a lot of people interact. I hope that responsibly, we will be able to be more acknowledging of others around us, that we will appreciate the time that we get with people in person. I know I'm kind of an introverted shut-in kind of guy, so at the beginning of this, I was kind of excited about it. I was like, yeah, sweet, I'll just text people. And that went away within about 4 days, where I was like, that's great, I'm introverted, but like, I still need to see people and not just lunatics at the store screaming about hand sanitizer, right? But I hope that I myself too will be able to reach people differently, to interact with people differently, that I'll be able to lean into God's promises by faith. There are so many promises given to us from God by faith in this book, in this text, in this word of God. And the word of God cannot lie, because lies cannot come from God. Deceit cannot come from God. And if you believe that by faith, all of the promises given to us through this word are available to us by faith. Faith spreads, it provides an example, it builds up, it rewards, and it guides. In this time of uncertainty, have faith. It may waver, there may be an Ishmael or two, like Abraham and Sarah struggled through, but God wants to meet your heart and your faith. And what he has in store for you is so much bigger than you. This is, I don't have a long thing this morning because I know there's a lot going on. But I'll close out with this. As I was praying through this and praying for my own faith, because when you preach a passage like this, it always challenges us too. It always pushes us to another kind of level. And processing through faith, and just, I took time to, honestly, I did take time to remember a little bit of the land that I came from in order to magnify the land that we're being sent into. I saw the times in my life where I was given forgiveness by faith, that I was able to express forgiveness by faith in ways that should not have been able to be done, at least from myself. Times when I've been able to take care of people and that I've been taking care of people as they stepped out in faith. We need each other more than ever right now. And if the reason we're reaching out to people is to feel better about ourselves, we're missing it. Faith in who Jesus is leads to us taking care of each other. It leads to us reaching out to people on the street who right now are not being given much. Now, granted, responsibly, of course, with social distancing and all that good stuff, but there are people who need to be taken care of right now. And I know maybe sometimes you might feel like you're the one that needs to be taken care of right now. And that's accurate, and that's fair. But in those moments, we're called to lean into God and by faith reach out and also reach in to spend some time in solitude with the Lord this week. Because as much as we're busy and we're figuring things out, I would just encourage you guys, it's as much as things like physically maybe have slowed down, mentally they've not, I don't think. I think we're thinking and running in our heads more often than we ever have. And maybe some of us are trying to run now in real life for the first time. But with all of this going on, I think it's so easy to just be busy. It's so easy to focus on what's going on around us and what we can be doing. But hear me on this. Without reaching out by faith to God in times of solitude with him, you are pouring out an empty cup. And you will not be able to fill the people around you if you are empty. My encouragement this week, as we walk by faith as a church, as Grace Point Church steps out into this season, as we have been walking in this season, our prayer for you guys is that you would not lock your hearts into your homes, that you would want to reach out, that you would want to be a part of this church community that, yes, is weird right now, that, yes, is different, and it looks very different, and it will look different week to week as we figure out how to do any of this. But it's so important to lean in faith into a community. We have small groups going on still. Reach out to us if you don't have one. We have online things. We have, for students, we have lots of weird stuff going on. Weird games we're playing online and Netflix parties and all sorts of stuff. But please know that in this moment, you and your family are not alone, that we are here, that we are praying for you guys, that we are struggling for you. And we hope that in faith, you guys would also step out and be here with us and be here for us as well. Because it's also not an easy time for us. We are hopeful. We are excited for this season. We know that God is going to do some crazy stuff. But the uncertainty is still concerning. It can still be scary. But we're figuring it out. We're getting through it. And we're hoping and just looking forward to the land that God is giving us. And I hope you will too. So in faith this week, I hope that you guys would lean into who God is, that you would lean into his power, lean into his love, and see what it is he has for you in this time. Because as much as we run around trying to figure out a lot of these things on our own, the end result of that might be more of an Ishmael. And so please spend time in solitude with the Lord this week. Please press into him. Lean into what he has for you. Because again, if you're not being poured into from God, pouring yourself out isn't going to lead to a lot, because that cup runs out real quick. Lean into God. Let's practice our faith. Let's push our faith. Let's seek that power and legacy and obedience by faith so that it would grow. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning, for this wild time, God, for this new season, for this uncertainty. God, that in the midst of things like this, God, you shine and you stand out. And we pray that you would show us what you have for us this week, God, what you need from us this week, and what you would ask of us. As we step out, Lord, I pray that we would stay connected to each other online and in our homes. God, that we would reach out when we need to reach out and reach out when we don't necessarily think we need to reach out. Because people are here. We are around for each other. We want to be together. God, we love you. Thank you for these examples of faith through your word. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Along with worshiping together and studying God's word together on Sunday mornings, something we started a few weeks ago is hearing some positive testimonies from the people of Grace Point Church, how God has begun to do his great work in and through their lives. This morning, let's listen in to George Andrade's story as he shares about some of the challenges and changes in his life and how God has been ministering to him, strengthening him one step at a time.
Hi, I'm George. I've been married 25 years and went through a terrible divorce. I haven't seen my children in 5 years, and I have a story to say, no matter how dark, no matter how deep, God loves us and wants the very best for our lives. And so when this hit, it was just something I never imagined, but we're all broken. We all come from stories, and through this whole ordeal, I've had this peace of God being with me. I've had good life examples, and I have no idea where I'm going. And God does, and he has the very best for our lives. So obey God and leave all the consequences to him.
Well, we are glad you joined us for our third in a row online Sunday service at Grace Point Church. Although we shut the doors to our campus this morning, there are many of open doors that God is making available to you and I as we walk with him and with each other. We look forward to seeing you soon. May God bless.